League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Dallas, people, you're stupid.
It's John and Lance.
So yeah, I could not be a drug mule. Too forgetful.
Broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You are too forgetful to be a drug mule. Yeah, you'd leave it on the top of the car, the bag on the top of the car, and then drive off. And everybody in your neighborhood would be high. Welcome, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. We are live at East River 9 as we begin the Masters. Today's the Masters, boys. Today starts the best 4 days in golf. How excited are you? Not at level, okay, from 1 to 10,000.
What? Oh, my goodness.
Well, I mean,
probably a 6.
That's low.
No, it's not.
On the 1 to 10,000
scale. 1 to 10,000.
If Tiger was in... So, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to see if you're any good at this golf thing later on, but Tiger, his amount of birdies, they've got stuff for how many birdies will Tiger have, what will his round be, what will...
Yeah.
So, we got the golf props. I'll ask you in a little bit. But Masters always, to me, of all the majors, I actually do. You're really excited about... Well, I mean, really, really excited is relative. Your level is probably different, but I do get excited about the Masters. I will typically on Masters, I tend to watch Saturday, Sunday after the cut's been established. So I don't watch as much Thursday, Friday. I don't stream it on a phone like you probably will at some point.
I'll probably do that today while I'm on the course.
In this Masters religious holiday for you.
Yeah.
But I'm interested. I was reading. So George Foster, who was an NFL tackle, played at Georgia, was drafted.
Was not. He was a Cincinnati Red that just 50 homers.
Not George Foster. Wait, Foster.
This is your Foster Grant who made
No. Isn't it George Foster? Yeah, it's George Foster. Okay. Also, the Georgia tackle who played for the Denver Broncos. He is. I follow him on Twitter, and he. He's at the Master. He was there. I don't think he's going to be there for the tournament. But he got passes for, I guess, the practice round.
Yeah.
And I don't know. What is Tuesday, Wednesday? Are they both just practice rounds?
Yeah, and he got the par three yesterday.
Yeah, I think he's there for that. And he said the one thing, and I think you've talked about this before, but the one thing that you can't tell on television at all is how hilly it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Straight
said,
down. Have, 10 is straight
he
downhill.
He goes, man, you want to talk about getting your steps in and getting your exercise. Yeah. He said, it is.
And
you
how,
just can't tell on TV.
And how green it is. It's, I mean, even they even use.
Well, I feel like you can tell that on TV.
Well, no, it's even more so when you're there.
I have HD television, John.
Well, I understand that, but it is. And even the wrappers for your pimento cheese sandwiches are green. They don't have anything
so
that will not. The cups,
out.
The beer cups are green. Everything is green, so that nothing will. Yeah, and there's no litter on the course anywhere around it. It's too pristine.
Have you ever seen anyone get beaten or really handled roughly by some of the police?
No, they don't. No.
Augusta Gestapo.
No.
Have they ever run
Here's
in on
the thing
somebody
that's most
the
scariest thing
throat.
About there is getting your pass pulled.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody, all of the patrons have a pass, and you have to wear it in a lanyard around your chest. And if you lose that, it's like, for whoever got that for you, or if it's yours, it's like worth,
it's gone forever?
It's gone. It's gone
have
forever.
Have you ever seen them grab it and snatch it off somebody's neck?
I've never seen that, no.
Have you ever heard about it?
No, we're gentlemanly at the Masters, okay? We don't do that.
Do they just ask them to lay it down on the table, and then they walk away? How do you get your pass taken?
Yeah.
Well,
is it
can
like
I
a
have
cop,
that pass?
Is it like a cop drama where you turn in your badge and your gun, and you've got to do
no
that at
a
guy who's at a desk and said, listen, I hate seeing this, but we've got to just get more intel before we you know.
We got to do once the investigation.
Once
is over,
the investigation is over, then, we try to clear you. We'll see what happens. You're a good cop. You're a good patron, but this isn't my doing.
I'm 2 days away from retirement, and I'm not going to let you ruin it for me.
Listen to me, you son of a bitch.
Like one of those, you know, it's, angry police.
It's defense. Not like, no, none it's of that happens.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
This is happening. This is a much bigger story than anything that we're going to talk about today.
Is it real?
That's
are those real?
That is the mock-up? Apparently this is what it's going to look like.
The new H-Town.
Because says, you know they've got the a third helmet.
This is what I hope to see with the new H-Town Blue. Who said that?
Well, because here's the H-Town Blue. Okay, so.
But who said that?
It's somebody that just made it. But
I'm
going to the opening.
I've heard it's
713. Have you heard this?
But I heard it's just hints of blue.
It's just what?
They're never going to have a hard color
I'm
blue.
I'm not sure that that's it. But did you hear that there's three helmets now for the NFL?
The NFL's allowed that you can now have a
third helmet.
Red, blue.
And it's specific.
Did you see this one? Like, this is really cool. The Cardinals?
Yeah. Well, they had the black one last year.
Yeah.
If you are doing a redesign for this upcoming year, you have the option of three helmets. It'll go league-wide in 2025.
Yeah. So the Texans do have that ability. Well, they've already got a red.
Why do the Texans have it but not league?
Because
they're doing a redesign
this year. So the Broncos have it. A couple other teams who are doing it this year have it. And then next year, everyone can do it.
Everyone should redo every year because you know how many more
you want to
how many more jerseys you sell?
Yeah, but I'm not worried about the league making money. I'm worried about some of my friends keeping their jobs.
Well, if the league makes more money, if you could make some money.
It actually has nothing to do with how much a league makes. I'm living proof of it. I think I'll be done this summer. So, yeah, I don't think it really matters how much money the league makes. Man, can you imagine how much money the league make? I hope they'll make as much as possible.
I hope the league can make more money.
I don't know why people are so worried about owners and players making money. Man, I hope somehow this quarterback can get to $60 million. I'm just wondering. They don't care about you. They're not going to give you – they're not going to let you hold any money.
None.
I promise.
None.
And the owner, you know, and I hope the owners find a new way to – a new revenue stream. Why, you're just going to pay for it. People don't realize every giant bag a player gets, every giant bag an owner gets, it has to come from somewhere.
Yep.
And it's your tickets. It's your concession. You know. Now, if you don't go to games, you're going to be fine.
I'm going to tell you this, though. I mean, because all the Space City, when you go to an Astros game, it's Space City jerseys in the crowd.
Love them, but there's a lot of them.
There's a ton of them out there. It was, you know how much more that is? Because I got to buy – the kids have to have that new jersey. The Texans are going to – it's going to explode, especially now. If they did this last year, be like, nobody would – 2 years ago, nobody would have bought
them. Well, they had the red, the blue – and well, that blue is gone now, the dark blue, right?
No.
It's on the road jerseys. We've already seen it.
Wait, what were they? I thought they were changing the blue. No, I think they're – I thought they were changing steel blue. Steel blue was gone, I thought.
I don't know.
We saw the leak and then the Cal official. That's the same color.
It's what is it? Blood red and
battle red,
deep steel blue, and Liberty white.
Well, they're going to have a different blue now.
They're going to have a lighter H-Town blue,
right?
But I think the dark blue will remain, and we saw it on the leak. So maybe it won't be a primary dark color, but it'll be on the road uniforms.
Yeah, they're still going
to. You already saw the helmet. The helmet remains from last year. The one we've all
and they've
seen.
Got the red and we'll
they
and
might
they got
get a new
the
one.
White
yeah,
yeah.
A different one yeah
yep.
So we'll you're going to be there what day is that the 27th
it's the 22nd I think
22nd
is it 22nd I think but yeah well I thought I got the invitation but Wendy says it was her
okay so oh yeah well Wendy's yeah. A head a muckety muck one of the big timers you're just hanging on. They're not sending you anything.
What about – well, what's the deal? What's the big deal about it?
So, well, that's the jersey.
The official unveil?
The uniform unveil, right.
Larry and Stafford's already seen them.
Yes.
The fan council
number
already
of people,
got to see
yeah,
them.
Well,
seen them already, right?
Yeah, but I think they only got a preview. I'm not sure that they got the whole deal.
They didn't get the fashion show that
I don't
they're
going to
get?
You know, we were going to – I don't know that they got the whole deal.
Do you think one of the logos, because of how popular he is, on the third jersey will have Cal's mustache on the helmet?
Oh, my gosh.
Will they put Cal?
Would that be totally
or will it
sweet.
Be his hand of the H on, like, the shoulder?
Totally.
Would it be a Cal-centric
What about bullhorns with a Cal mustache?
A Cal-centric third jersey?
And you just see
or
those,
third helmet?
Those fingers, those thick fingers doing a bull. Well, I'm just trying to paint a picture.
Oh, my God.
They're thick.
I don't know why.
Well, last one I saw, Cal, he was holding a gun and pointed it at
That was a fake. Somebody put a gun
no.
in his hand.
No, he had one hand with the H and the other with a giant.
Nah, that was Terrell Suggs. That wasn't Cal.
Terrell
let's
Suggs.
Save that.
Holy
We've got a whole list
there's
of
a lot of stuff.
Criminal stuff that came out
oh
in sports yesterday.
My thought is.
I like how we're passing up on the John's Italian Stallion.
No one wants to talk about that.
No, John's Italian Stallion.
He threw two really good innings.
Three innings, seven runs.
He threw two
Spencer
really
Spaghetti.
Good innings.
Seven
okay.
runs.
How about what about your guy Blair Henley, the
not
white
guy,
coming in
it's
and
not
doing
my
that?
Guy.
How's that?
Not my guy. Four and nine.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're 4-9 right now. When Ronel Blanco and Christian Javier pitch, you are 3-1. Although Javier didn't take a loss, just a game he started, he gave up no runs and they lost in the second game of the year. But Christian Javier, when he pitches, actually he's pitched three times, right?
Javier?
Yes.
Yeah, three.
Okay, so they are, and the other one was a loss. So they are, when Ronel Blanco and Christian Javier pitch, they are 3-2. The only win they got was the other day when the starter was terrible.
Yeah.
Henley was terrible, and they got a win. That's the only win that didn't involve Christian Javier or Ronel Blanco. Everything else is a loss. Every other start by anyone else turns into a loss.
Well, Frober pitched well. He just didn't get any support.
Yeah,
well, Javier gave up no runs.
That was the game they couldn't hit, and then Hader gave up the two in the ninth with two outs.
We're at 4-9 now. Jeremy Pena's hitting still. Yiner's up over 300, both those guys. It's the classic.
Bregman's starting to
it's
hit.
It's the Bregman slow start. It is everything
no,
it is every
but
year.
Bregman's starting to hit. Yordan is hitting.
Yordan's hitting well.
And Abreu, he looks good.
And Abreu and Singleton pinch hit, 0-1 with one punch out. Abreu and
Singleton got a hit.
Oh, did he get one later? Oh, I was checked out by then.
Oh, really?
Well, when he first.
Well, you gave up on your team.
After
I realized it was 11-2, but you gave up on your
team.
Yeah,
I had
fair weather.
What did I start watching? I watched Zone of Interest. Holy crap!
What well, that Ooh. Is an odd and off-putting movie.
Boy, that
yeah,
is.
I told you. Yeah,
that is a disturbing
yeah,
movie
really
when
is.
You just see how just oh, it's unlike anything I had seen.
Yeah.
Like it's a Nazi family and just their everyday regular life. With Jewish servants
with,
running around with no, guns in the background.
Auschwitz right next
right
door.
Next to the wall.
Yeah.
You see the fires,
you hear
the screams.
Screaming. Yeah.
It is unbelievably off-putting. Yeah, it's hard to get through that
right.
one.
By the way.
And that was preferable to the Astros.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
The Astros are hard to get through as well.
Zone of Interest was preferable to the Astros.
Oh, my gosh. That's really, really ugly. We got an afternoon game for the Astros today. We got the Masters today. We got East River 9. It's beautiful out here.
You didn't ask me how excited I was about the Masters.
Yeah, what's your master number?
I know what your master's number
is. What's your master's number?
Is it
zero?
Six out of a scale of 1 to 10,000 like yours?
I don't think yours is six.
I don't go up to 10,000. I only go to 10.
Okay. I was trying to figure out why we're at Free Rain. I'm not Free Rain. I'm looking at your hat right now.
Free Rain Coffee.
I was trying
thank
to figure
you.
Out why we were at East River 9, and then I had to be reminded about the Masters. Like, oh, yeah, this is a golf thing going on. So that's where my level of interest is. I didn't even know why we would even be out here.
Well, actually, because, you know, in all honesty, I've been out here for
Astros.
For the Astros, I've been out here for the SEC championship game. Watched those. Me and Chris watched like two or three games out here. They had a big concert that was out there, and this is a great place. You can just go hit range balls, come back in, grab something to eat, grab something to drink. I'm just saying, even if you don't play, you obviously can play.
You can play pickleball.
You can do all kinds of stuff. But even if you just want to hit golf balls,
it's a great sports
at bar. Lunch, boom, 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 and you come in here and watch, you can do that.
Yep, they got a beautiful television outside that's, I mean, even though the sun is out, you can still see it. It's beautiful.
It's specially
like
designed to where you
it is awesome. So this is a place to come and watch, get your game on
this
today, go hit
this
balls.
This is a hidden gem for sure. They've made it easier to find and with the big fire truck and everything they've done because it used to be I'd go past the entrance like, oh, crap, I just passed the entrance again. It's hard to miss it now.
Yeah. All right, so Houston Powder Coaters is what I'm talking about right now. And if you want to get in, sub on 3780-3776. Houston Powder Coaters, is where I'm talking about Robin, and I'm talking about the great people over Houston Potter Quarters. I'm talking about you having patio furniture that's just meh. It's shungad. You need something to do something with it. If you want to do something with it, you love your Astros, okay. You love your Rockets. You love your Cougs. You love your Aggies. You love your Texans, whatever. You can get the colors of your patio furniture. You can get those your chairs and your tables out there powder coated with your team's colors. How cool is that? Have that in your backyard or have that on your tailgate. All right, now that's an idea. And oh, by the way, you want to do it now because of your tailgating in the summer or next fall? Get it done now. And you know what? It's going to last, and it's beautiful. And they've got every color, conceivable color. Maybe you want to wait until you see what the Texans' color is going to be, and then you can make the new colors your color. All you need to do is go to HoustonPowderCoaters.com. They are awesome. You're going to deal with people who are so professional and so good at what they do. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Tell Robin you heard it right here.
ESPN 97.5. It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Mapes never said it hot. Did he say?
I don't know if you played the rejoin. That's usually the clue.
He did play it.
Okay, then I guess he's
then
sounds,
it's hot.
I guess I'm assuming.
What is Mapes? He doesn't want to talk to us. He just talks to you.
Well, he'll be out here later, so he's got to pace himself with the words.
With
he
the
uses.
Words that he's using.
Yes,
he's got to pace his words.
Yes, he's going to come
well,
out
you
here.
You too. You just shuck this show. You shun it.
Well, he doesn't actually work
all the words.
He actually
on
doesn't
this show.
Work on this show very much. He's only here because we're out here, so I wouldn't put much of it.
Oh
on him.
No. Now because yeah, but he says I'm loyal to Dell. I'm not even telling them in their ear when it's hot. When
well,
they're
he should be loyal. The next show is his show. He's part of that show. He doesn't really work on this show.
Now he's all about this show. Okay.
Well, I mean, he has told us we have a couple callers that you've ignored, but
okay.
so he is doing that, his part there.
Well, we had the first segment, which was very important.
Yes,
we get to.
Yes, we had Lance make fun of Spencer Argetti's name again.
Yeah, again.
Lance brought a sock from home that he's not wearing. Like a sock fell out of his bag. It was just laying on the floor. Why did you have a sock?
Why
on the
are
floor?
You have? Why do you have a sock on the floor?
I had two socks in that.
Yeah,
I took it when
hopefully.
I was traveling somewhere, and then one of them got lost, but I found it now. I don't know how it got on there. I don't know.
Is it your
it was maybe stuck to this Velcro
the mule.
Here.
He's carrying socks now.
No not a sock
listen,
mule.
We're going to practice with socks. Like the kids practice
I'm
with an egg, okay, when they have a baby.
If I was less honest, I would have picked it up, and it would have been in my pocket.
Lance,
like the drugs would have been.
Yeah. Lance is practicing to be a mule with socks, and he can't do
mule.
It.
He's already failed.
Told you I can't be a mule. Never, ever. Listen, police, you never have to stop me or at the airport. Never stop me. Although I did find out if you bring a CPAP machine on the road, sometimes they'll pull your – it's better just to pull it out of your suitcase.
I carry this equipment, I'm always like, I'm going to get – there's wires
yeah.
and there's all kinds of headphones, you know, all the wires and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'm sure I'm going to get – and never. Nobody's ever stopped me through with this stuff through customs or what is it? TSA. Okay, we got a couple of callers waiting to get in here. Is it Stafford? Oh, not Larry. It's Stafford. What's up, Stafford?
It's Stafford. What's going on, player?
What's up, Stafford? How are we doing today?
Oh, man, I'm concerned, man. I'm worried,
What's
man.
Wrong?
I got
What's
my
wrong?
Family. So I was in the Marine Corps. I know a whole bunch of Yankees fans. I'm sick of them already. I know a whole. I got family in Dallas. All this Rangers mess, and it ain't been a good half of a month. It ain't been good, man. And I'm losing faith, man. I miss Dusty Baker, but I'm not gonna blame Joe because we got to give Joe time, and I'm not gonna. I know we got injuries. It just looks like we got holes. But my question is, why not trade Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman? They ain't coming back.
Well, you got an extra year. He's not doing that. He's got another year of Tucker. This is it for Bregman.
Which makes him more valuable.
Yeah, but he doesn't do that. Jim Crane doesn't do that.
Tell me why. Okay, is there anything that can happen this year to make him think? Because that is the move that is going to be best for the Astros in the future.
He doesn't think. Okay, with Jim Crane, and he said this offseason, I am not about, he said, I'm about winning every year. And so we're going to win. He didn't go put $95 million on the roster with Josh Hader to go to trade one of the best hitters in baseball.
I know, I get that. But if this season deteriorates to a point where you objectively believe this is not going to be the year, especially with arm injuries to pitchers, is it on the table? I would say it should be on the table.
Well,
if you're winning, I get it.
Allegedly, Fromber's coming back. Allegedly, JV's coming back. Allegedly,
Urquidy's
coming back.
Are they going to be good?
All five of them are coming back.
Are they going to be
good? By the way, yeah, I mean, blaming Joe Espada is ill-aimed. Listen, somebody, Bad Orange or somebody put out, and I don't know, it's on Twitter, so it must be true. He put out that the five guys that the Astros have on the IL, JV, Fromber, Urquidy, Garcia, and McCullers have more wins, postseason wins, than everyone else on an active roster combined in Major League Baseball. Everyone else on an active roster. Now, it may not be true. I have no idea. I'd have to go look at all the postseason wins for every team. I'm just going to trust Bad Orange, whatever his name is. But it could well be way off. But I know there is a lot of – that's a starting rotation that most teams would love to have. JV followed by Fromber, followed by Urquidy or Garcia or McCullers. Are you kidding me? That's – and this is what the Astros start is. So it's 4-9, but we got a little bit. Take it. And especially when you see these rookies that are coming up and not being ready. Did you see what Pedro Martinez said about these young guys coming up?
Pedro Martinez said
the reason they've got baby ligaments and they're too young, they're coming up before they stretch these ligaments out in the minors. They're coming up too fast to the big leagues and throwing as hard as they can because they're trying to get out big league hitters. And so this is – and their ligaments are not ready for this.
I told you yesterday what James Andrews said.
Right.
Your UCL ligament is – your Tommy John ligament, what he called it, is not fully developed until you're 26.
So you brought up Eric – you brought him up yesterday, Spencer. And he's not ready.
Or may not be good enough.
Well, no. He's just not ready. There's a reason that they sent him back down. They were forced with all of these injuries to bring him up. Do you think they wanted to bring him up? No. They knew what he was. He pitched two good innings, and then he just got shelled. I mean, it was awful. They're in a place right now that they haven't been. We haven't seen this idea being. We've had so much luck as far as injuries go, as far as this rotation goes. I mean, even with Lance McCullers, it has been one of the healthiest rotations in baseball. What was it? I think we started six guys all year, six or seven guys all year.
Yeah, it's been relatively healthy. I know if you pick and choose, you say, what do you mean healthy? We've had McCullers out, and then you had this guy miss that amount of time. Listen, by Major League Baseball, go look at the Dodgers and go look at the Yankees.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been an injury fest with them. Garrett Cole hurt right now. So, I mean, the Dodgers have been bludgeoned by injuries. The Yankees have been bludgeoned by injuries. We've been lucky, and not anymore. Not anymore. It's really catching up right now. I did ask the question yesterday if the Astros, since Jeff Luhnow came in, they have had an adherence to spin rate. I mean, very big on spin rate, very big on curveballs. Curveball's been a really big deal in terms of their, you know, how the Astros are going to attack hitters, and they want to give you two different sight line. They want to change your sight line up in the zone, down in the zone. Smoltz has done a brilliant job of explaining exactly what the Astros try to do, and I just wondered aloud: is there any chance that the Astros' consistent, changing of grips
to get the most? Because Justin Verlander even said, man, I got a different grip when I came here. And is there anything that plays into
– Glasnow explained it too, yeah.
The arm angle with the Astro – or with the arm angle, the grip, whatever, with the Astros, the curveballs. Is any of that part of the injuries that have mounted finally with the Astros?
Or maybe the baseball grip that they don't have anymore. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And they got to squeeze it harder.
Or
and
a combination of the two. I don't know, because all of a sudden – bang, 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 like Astros pitchers. Yep.
I think you guys are avoiding the real issue here. I know you don't want to talk about them because you love them. The legacy of Strami.
Well, all these injuries started when Strami left, so I don't know.
They
Strami
won
left.
A World Series without him. I think they're okay.
I'm just saying he was one of the guys pushing way of
he's saying
pitching.
Legacy of Strami.
That he got all these guys injured?
Nothing ever happened until Strami left.
Yeah, until he left.
Until he left.
The wear and tear on all these guys. At some point, it was coming.
Might be the law firm.
Maybe the law firm told him, let's start gripping it like this and throwing like this.
I just think we should look at, I know we love the man, but at some point, wear and tear happens.
What? Please watch your mouth.
What? Yeah, he's not. He doesn't even work here anymore.
Hall of Famer.
Understood. Mm-hmm. A lot of Hall of Famers.
He's gone
great.
In the Astros Ring of Honor.
Yeah. You know what I
He's going to go up on the train where they paint people's faces on the train.
Okay.
Which is something I'm assuming they're going to do at some point. Where
on the pumpkins.
Guys, yeah. Oh, pumpkin face.
He gets a pumpkin face. That'd be awesome.
Brent the Butcher Strami.
No, he's not the butcher. He's not the butcher.
You are the worst. Let's get La Raza in here. ¿Qué pasó, mijo?
¿Dónde, wey?
Golf, gentlemen.
Golf.
Golf to you.
So, looking at the Masters, I had a question about two guys that I was looking closely. Jeff Frawley and Max Homa. Well, how far do you think they're going to go?
Yeah, Max Homa, John. What do you
Max
think?
Max Homa. And right, who's the other guy?
Soccer Matters?
Frawley?
Is this Soccer Matters?
How far does Barcelona go in this Champions League, though?
He's asking you.
You saved that.
Questions.
You saved that for the Mopey and Mape show.
And neat stuff. He said.
Hey, his name's Max Homa, and I don't know who the other guy is.
Somebody Frawley.
Jeff Frawley. Frawley. I don't
he
know.
He screwed up names for golf for you. He asked soccer
but
stuff
he was
for you,
close
and then
with
said
Max
neat
Homa.
Stuff. And he said nothing about draft because he respects the draft.
No.
He doesn't respect Champions League.
No. He should.
And he doesn't respect
that
golf.
Idaho backup guard Lance. Let's talk about that.
There's not
neat
one.
Stuff.
There's not one.
Okay. So Max Homa.
He didn't mean it.
Yeah, no,
he didn't actually mean that.
Questions. No. I'm going to save his Barcelona question for my show.
I'm going to use a
bathroom. Address his Max Homa question.
Max Homa is really he's got to start playing much better in the majors. He's got to get that started, which he hasn't yet. He is a fan favorite. He's great on Twitter. If you're not following Max Homa, you need to.
Golf Twitter
humor. His golf humor is second to none.
I'm sure it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's nonstop hijinks and hilarity. Speaking of hijinks and hilarity, we got to address this Russell Wilson story on the other side.
There's a Russell Wilson story?
There's a Russell Wilson story. But first, let's talk about Craig DeCerf. That's the story.
The story is what Craig DeCerf is offering you right now over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. This is a dealership where they go out of the way to make you happy. They want you to tell your friends, your family. They want you to get a second car. Everything they do, everything that Craig DeCerf does, from the service to the selection to the way they treat you, everything is based on you being happy because that's the best form of advertising. Your happiness. And they take less profit on vehicles than probably anyone else. They give higher trade-in values. They find the most dealer incentives that they can, which is fine. That's great. They want you to have as many dealer incentives as possible. Where they come in is they offer lower prices right from the start. They offer higher trade-in values. Look, the APR rates are the APR rates. The dealer incentives are the dealer incentives because they're factory incentives in most cases. But where they shine is customer service, trade-in value, and then the willingness to just negotiate to their best price right away so that you don't have to – there's no foolishness, and they're never going to pressure you or push you into getting a vehicle you don't want or a vehicle that you're not ready for. They help you find the programs that are right for you, whether it's a purchase or a lease. And if it means they have to tell you, hey, right now might not be the best time for what you're looking for, let's go ahead and keep you informed over the next 2 months and see if those change. That's what they do. They go that extra mile. They're out in Angleton, but you can handle your car buying experience to start with and maybe even to completion through the website at LanceZCars.com. Go to LanceZCars.com, start the car buying experience there, and get a great new vehicle from Chevy, Buick, or GMC. Craig DeSerf and Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC.
Load and ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to John and Lance, broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's John Granato and Lance Zerline.
Thank you, Sean. Sean Mabes, producer extraordinaire, in the booth today. While we are out at East River 9 and we want you to come on by, as we mentioned, you don't even have to play golf out here. If you want to learn, I'm sure they give lessons up there. And you can hit balls up there, or you can play pickleball, or you can just come to the bar here where they'll have the Astros game on this afternoon, and they'll have the Masters on this afternoon. It's the food is really good here. It's really good, and it's a sports bar atmosphere. If you're on the east side of downtown, this is a place to get to. I mean, it's a great sports bar. So come on over here to East River 9. East River 9. Just a fantastic place. We love it. Russell Wilson says he paved the way for other African-American quarterbacks such as Patrick Mahomes. For me to be able to go back-to-back to back-to-back Super Bowls and win one of them, I think opened up a lot of doors. You see guys like Patrick Mahomes who won it. It's really just us so far, but there's more to come.
Really just us?
Wow.
That's some Doug Williams.
Doug Williams is like, hey, wait a minute.
Have you heard about me?
Do you feel like Doug Williams paved the way for black quarterbacks?
I really feel like yes.
You did? You think it all opened up from after Doug Williams?
I think it definitely opened eyes.
I remember going to Tulane when Terrence Indiana Jones was there, or Terrence Superdome Jones was there, and he had to go as a wide receiver to Canada. So, or to the Chargers, he went as a wide receiver. That was well after Doug Williams.
A lot of guys that have, but, well, Warren Moon did it. I mean, there was a lot.
I think Warren Moon did more than, and I know Doug wanted a higher level and all that, but I think Warren Moon's success, I felt like, you know, that went into the 90s. He was a guy who had to come from Canada to make it in the league. I don't know. Doug Williams is, you know, Super Bowl. There's no doubt in what Doug Williams did, but I don't feel like Doug Williams made it easier right away. I really don't. I think it took a lot longer.
I think what he did is remove the, well, can't ever win a Super Bowl with them. That's a standard that you or a discrimination you can't use because of what Doug Williams did.
Nah, I think it was still used after Doug Williams. If you're being honest,
I'm not talking about playing quarterback because that stuff doesn't. That one guy doing it doesn't make it.
Right.
Instantly. But I think once you see that it's possible, that's something that can no longer be said, and you have to make progress out of that. You can't just put it on one guy because, as you mentioned, ideas have to change over time. Mm-hmm. But Doug Williams is a guy. I think the point is I don't know what the hell Russell Wilson's talking about. Yeah. I think that's the point of the discussion. What is Russell Wilson saying?
You know,
no one believes that he laid the groundwork.
We've had this conversation before, and I feel like we can have it on this show, but in other places it's. But there's a lot of black quarterbacks who don't look at Russell Wilson as that's me, and that's unfortunate. Whether it's colorism, whether it's the way you know he moves or whatever the case may be. And I think that's a really unfortunate thing. But from a reality standpoint, just in listening to people talk, reading things, I think unfortunately Russell Wilson is not looked at. You know, even the comments, was it Louis Riddick that said he was that Lamar Jackson's the first, you know, truly black quarterback.
I don't know if Louis Riddick.
It wasn't Louis Riddick. You've seen that.
I know the quote, but I don't
think
it was
somebody in a mainstream media position, and I was like, man, that's a lot to unpack when you start making comments like that for Warren Moon and you know So it's a more complex conversation.
It was Ryan Clark.
Ryan Clark
first
said that.
Authentic black quarterback.
Yeah, first authentic black. Yeah, see, I'm uncomfortable with that, but that's your fight to fight, Dell. Yeah. I'm out
what?
Of that fight.
Why is that my
I'm
fight?
I'm out of that fight.
I don't want to
John
get
and
into,
I can't comment on that.
I don't want it to get into a discussion about what Ryan Clark thinks.
What's the list?
Him and Harry Douglas can beat it.
Number of – and forget winning the Super Bowl. Played in – the black quarterbacks that have played in the Super Bowl.
Jalen Hurts.
Well, right. No. Number. You can.
I'm trying to go through Jalen Hurts.
Colin Kaepernick.
You had Sean King lost to.
They lost in the title game.
Donovan McNabb. Donovan McNabb. You had Doug Williams. Yep. You had Jalen. You had Pat Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes, five.
That's four. Who's five?
Russell Wilson.
Here it is.
Oh, Russell Wilson.
Here it is. Russell Wilson, Doug Williams. Donovan McNabb, Patrick Mahomes, Colin Kaepernick, Jalen Hurts, Cam Newton, Steve McNair.
Oh, yeah. Seven.
Eight.
Eight, okay.
It's not a lot. I would have thought that it would be more. It's not,
well, the black quarter, well, you've got Tom Brady hogging up a lot of these.
Yeah.
So there's an entire AFC
conference
is done.
Conference out of the way.
Then you have.
Vic didn't make the Super
Manning
Bowl,
Manning got
right?
a couple no. of them. No, Michael Vick never made a Super Bowl. So, no, there's not a lot, but it's also a relatively new phenomenon, the amount of black quarterbacks that we have. There were always a pocket of four. You know, Dante Culpepper, there was four or five. But this is a more, you know, when the draft looks like black quarterback, this year you have white quarterback. But it's relatively new. But I saw a comment yesterday. I was doing, like, kind of an AMA on Twitter where I would answer any draft questions. And I got, like, 220 minutes. It was an avalanche. But one of the guys said, it's a white guy, who said, I believe that, Lance, what do you think of this take? I believe that that J.J. McCarthy is going to be overvalued because he's a white guy who looks like a guy who would play the position, who, you know, more of an appearance thing and makes you subconsciously believe. And I said, and he'll be overdrafted. I said, no. I said, I couldn't disagree more. And I'm not going to speak for people on Twitter or whatever. NFL teams, they don't care if you're black or white. They really don't. They just they evaluate if you can win or not because their jobs are on the line. Let me tell you where there's no BS and there's no performative stuff going on. NFL rooms where scouts and coaches have to win games and they don't and they're not trying to perform. Would they prefer? Is there a racial preference for some people? Maybe there's some. You know, maybe you see that. I know famously Ozzie Newsome is drafted and had primarily just black quarterbacks. However, with that said, you know, other than Joe Flacco, with that said, they're in there losing, either getting extensions and keeping their jobs or they're losing their jobs. They don't have time for performative stuff at all. It's amazing how real NFL evaluators and scouts keep it. Like it's and how, and you know what, and how clicked up they are with each other. It's not, I mean, there's, when I watch guys on the road, there's some racial click. There's people who you click with, whatever the case may be. And along societal lines, sometimes it's racially inclined where black scouts hang out, you know, with each other. However, on the road, everyone gets along because there's no BS. Like, they got to try to find winners. They got to try to find guys that win. And this idea
Well, it's
that
a fraternity, this, too. I
mean, it really is. But you got a huge fraternity where black and white are, it's not a problem.
Yeah, by the way, that guy you're competing against, you might be in a foxhole with him next year. Or,
oh, yeah. No, those guys
a lot
don't.
Of,
scouts don't look at each other as, they look at each other as brethren
because
their jobs are hard.
So, but maybe Russell Wilson, I was like, come on, Doug, what you're going to talk about
you, know what,
you
maybe,
and you know, maybe Russell Wilson has a little bit of a point.
When you think of the explosion of black quarterbacks, yeah, maybe he does. No. Now, because now maybe more young. Now, think of the ages of some of the quarterbacks. So how old were they when Russell Wilson was first with? And so maybe that does jive. Like, you know, did Justin Fields always want to be a quarterback? Who were the guys he – well, it didn't have to be your favorite player, but who did you watch on TV? Maybe he does have a point.
Maybe. And, you know, you can't speak to this. Dell and I can. But there is, I mean, even though Russell Wilson is, like you said, I think that, I don't know.
He's biracial.
He is so biracial.
So is Pat Mahomes.
Look, I didn't play quarterback at the high school level. I was a DB. But I don't know if anyone looked at Russell Wilson and said, I want to be a quarterback because of Russell Wilson. I think black quarterbacks have always wanted to be quarterbacks. And,
yeah,
and,
I just don't.
And John, that's called colorism.
I'm saying Russell Wilson didn't drive black quarterbacks to be black quarterbacks.
I don't.
Guys have
either.
Always wanted to be quarterbacks.
But it's more accepted now by the league. or trusted more by head by general managers and head coaches. I just feel like I thought this was all done. I don't even thought, when Russell Wilson was in there, I didn't even think about being him being a black quarterback.
I didn't either.
I thought all this was done.
It's done, except for people who keep bringing it up.
Yeah,
it really is done. In the NFL, it's done. It's not a – I'll see people make issues. If somebody makes an issue, I'll know that they don't really know. They don't have any understanding. Or this is just something they want to keep alive because it's something they really enjoy doing. Black quarterbacks are not only a thing in the NFL. It's – everyone is open to having a quarterback no matter what. And, in fact, if you're a pocket statue, whether you're Dwayne Haskins or whether you're Carson Palmer, it's a massive, massive inconvenience for the offense. You've got to have mobility in today's offense. And J.J. McCarthy's very mobile, black or white. Josh Allen's very mobile. Justin Fields is very mobile. You've got to be able to extend and make plays. Can you create when things go haywire is a mass. Yes, leadership and accuracy matter. But, you know, the athletic ability, it's really just a mobility, either pocket mobility where you can slide around like Tom Brady, or just getting out of the pocket and making things happen. And what's happening now is the quarterbacks from the 7-on-7, black and white quarterbacks are much different quarterbacks. No matter what race they are, they're just much different quarterbacks now. They typically are much more athletic. They're also getting smaller. There's not as many pure Vikings out there like 6'4", 6'5", with their blonde hair and their beards and the – actual Vikings, the Nordic features, that's kind of a joke. But they don't have the 6'3 to 6'5 pocket when we want you to be 225 to 240. That's not really the thing now. It looks more like J.J. McCarthy and Jaden Daniels. And, Caleb is shorter and squattier, but Jaden Daniels is a way different body type. J.J. McCarthy is much smaller than most NFL quarterbacks. He's lighter, so... The position is changing to where it's more athletic across the board down at the youth level, and it's also a little bit lighter too. The size variances are starting to really pop up now as opposed to what it used to be.
Yep. All right, we got to break it. 713-780-3776.
How big was Warren Moon? Do you know?
Pardon me?
How big was Warren Moon? He feels like he was 6'2", 2,
yeah.
220, 218, something like that.
Yeah, in that neighborhood.
Don't you think that's about what he was?
I think he still is. He's still in good shape. He's around there right now. 713-780-3776.
6'3", 218 is what he's listed
at. Yeah. Time to talk about HRP. It doesn't matter what weight you are. And if somebody at work talks about your weight, then you know what? You need HR, okay? I never talked about anybody's weight at the station. Goodness gracious. I love all people. I don't care what size you are. Here's the deal is if you are somebody that has someone who's inappropriate at work, in the workplace, you need HRP. Yeah, honestly, you do. You need to have some training. You need to know how to handle this person. You need to know what you can and can't do. If someone is looking for a job, what you can tell other employers. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes with HR that you don't know about, okay? HRP does. They're experts in the HR field. They're experts in the payroll field. You cannot do this. You don't do this. What you do is you sell your widgets, whatever those are. It doesn't mean you have to make them. I mean, it could be you're in the service industry. Whatever you are, whatever industry you're in, if you've got 15, 25, 80,000 employees, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what state they're in. It doesn't matter how you pay your people, be it pay, whatever it is. Commissions or you got salary or you got hourly, whatever it is. They are going to be able to take care of it and do it perfectly every time. You're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, we got one you will be. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
Now back to John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9.
I think Jackie makes a good point. We care more about your political leanings now than your color.
That's true.
Right? When we get done with the racial stuff, can we really talk about which QBs are Republicans or Democrats?
No, I don't care about it. I just care that he bagged Sierra.
I have respect for that.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
There is a level of respect.
I like that he's Willis Wilson, our old friend from Rice Basketball. He's his nephew.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's where you got the Wilson name?
Russell Wilson is 100%.
Just because their last names are Wilson, Lance.
No, Russell Wilson. Okay.
We're not all related.
Willis Wilson was telling me that when he was at NC State before he was a big deal. True story. Russell Wilson's uncle is Willis Wilson.
Glenn Davis still has the best. This person I'm related to.
Who?
He's related to the model who's married to Derek Jeter.
Oh, yeah.
He always wins that one.
Soccer Davis?
Yes.
Hannah Davis.
That's his niece. Now Hannah Jeter.
Hannah Jeter, yeah. Who's in the commercials.
That's his niece?
Yes.
That's his niece. Yeah, she was
good
Hannah
genes
Davis.
There.
He always he'll win that competition all the time.
Yeah, yep. He wins. Absolutely. 713-78. My nieces are going to be mad at me.
There's his dad, Harrison Wilson. You can't see Willis Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Looks similar.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's got that same mustache and everything.
Yeah, and they are both sharp dressers. Remember when Willis Wilson won Best Dressed Coach?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. 713-780-3776. We got a couple of callers on the line. Who's first, Sean? Sean? Okay, let's get Sean in here. Hey, Sean.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Sean.
Hey, John. Frenchie says that thing is done, all right? Up in Chicago, it's done. Don't worry about it no more, all right?
Okay. What's done?
It's done. Oh,
it's done.
Oh.
We ain't talking about it.
No, never mind. Yeah.
Thing's done.
It's got done. Yeah,
all right. Finished. Good for you. Thank you.
Is that all?
That's it.
He just wanted to.
No, I got one.
Go ahead.
Hey, fellas. So every day I pass by Minute Maid Park, I'm thinking that, you know, it's safe. You know, the north side, the home plate is straight north side. So I'm thinking, I got my Theo Rogelio. He moved houses, you know, he moved houses for a living. We can borrow some of his tools. Let's go ahead and just face home plate south, like a feng shui kind of thing, you know? I think you pay him a couple $100, a couple of cases of Modelo. We'll be all good, you know?
What the hell are we? Hang up. It's not feng shui, first of all. That's not the name for it. It's feng shui. Feng shui.
Feng shui.
Feng shui.
Feng shui, yeah. And number two, we're not taking your Theo's tools and changing home plate.
Well, I will say this. It's the only stadium that I know of where the home team faces the sun when it's setting.
Yeah, I know.
That was really dumb of them. They should have made the third base side.
You mean kind of like the
home team dugout?
Well, actually, the Texans do have it to where the light shines on the road.
Yes.
The road team, yeah.
No, every home team faces east, has the west to their back.
Well, they needed to do a whole redo on the Texans stadium. Like, it's too enclosed, so when it's outdoor, you don't even feel the breeze coming in.
No.
They weren't able to grow grass because of how it's built. Like, that thing needed a redo. The whole thing, if they could do a do-over on that stadium, I bet they would.
Yeah, I would, too. That was poorly. Oh, my God. So many hot days. That Steelers game, still, I was on the field in a suit, like, just drenched. It was and people passing out.
Well, no,
they haven't opened the roof since then.
They have. It just seems like they haven't. It had such an impactful. I remember getting
like the third season.
I remember I heard from somebody at the Texans that Tracy McGrady brought his kid there, and they were like his daughter was about to pass out, and they got invited. Like he called somebody, and they brought him up into a suite just so they could survive the heat. It's had such an impact on the Texan psyche. Like the baggage that exists after the what was that, 2004?
John Schneider, who was the ticket, who ran their ticket for
Shriver.
John Shriver, who ran their tickets forever. Just retired, I think,
two or three years ago.
Yeah. Anyway, he was like, the phone calls, he said we never had, and so we decided as an organization, unless it's like between 69 and 70, we're not going to open the roof.
It has to be perfect. Whatever their definition of perfect,
yeah, perfect is.
Mine is like 64. You wear a little bit of a jacket.
It'd be perfect.
Feels good, yeah.
No, yeah.
But they don't.
No, that'd be
too cold.
Everybody
well,
be
what
freezing
about 75 is good right
no,
now?
No, that's too hot.
Oh,
everybody will
the
die.
Humidity, and I agree.
Yeah.
So just look at dew point, and then you can make your decision.
What was the dew
point? Not like the dew point was low yesterday. It was phenomenal.
It was.
Great day yesterday.
Well,
by the way,
because of the rain.
It's not like the roof can open now anyway.
No, it's broken. They
yeah.
can't reopen it. Let's get Jacob in here. Hey, Jacob.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
How we doing?
Yeah, it's funny that y'all were having that conversation this morning, man. I talked to a friend not too long ago. We were debating quarterbacks, and he said, man, there's not black quarterbacks don't win Super Bowls. And if you think about it, it's only Doug Williams and I don't know who else, because Steve McNair lost, Donovan McNabb lost. Who else?
Colin Kaepernick.
I can't even think off the top of my head.
Colin Kaepernick.
He won.
Kaepernick is mixed, black and white. Russell Wilson, black and white. Patrick Mahomes, black and white.
Oh, the biracial board.
Yeah.
My phone calls today are off the charts. So the biracial quarterbacks win. Okay.
So we can only attribute one.
Dell, do you?
I've always asked that question.
I don't like the question.
This is a really dangerous question, boys.
Why?
Don't play games with this, John.
Why is he black when he's half white?
Don't play games with this, John.
What did your old racist caller always used to say? Collie, what did he say? What did he say?
If he robbed a bank.
What would he be described as? That's your answer.
You know, John Lance, you know what he'd be called? Okay.
Yeah. Tiger Woods, yeah, he said.
Tiger Woods, Glenn Rick.
And the police asked John, tell the truth, John, tell the truth. What would he be? He'd be black. Thank you. I got some old collie calls. They were phenomenal.
Yeah,
collie could make me so mad sometime. But
oh, my God, you used to get so mad.
God, man, collie would just get me so mad with some of his racial stuff. But then he was ultimately – you know, I met collie.
You did?
I gave him a check for youth football. He has a youth – he had a youth football team, and I – met him years ago and gave him a check for his team so they could. I don't remember what he looks like to this day, but I actually met Collie one time.
I think he was a black guy.
He definitely was. Good I do remember that.
Good guess, John.
Yeah. Who's next, Sean? Southwest J. What's up, Southwest J?
Hey, what's up, guys? Real quick on the rest thing. There have been successful athletic quarterbacks over time. But, you know, John, as you may know, although darker meat quarterbacks may be, quote-unquote, more athletic, there has always been a stigma that black quarterbacks, although they may be athletic, aren't smart enough to pick up on an NFL offense as they typically, you know, run maybe, you know, single read offenses in college. And so there was a stigma that although they are athletic, they weren't intelligent enough to win at a high enough level. They could win during the regular season, but not really win Super Bowls. And I do think that changed sort of with Russ and now Patrick, but I do hear people try to label them more as pocket quarterbacks than athletic mobile quarterbacks. And there was still that narrative around when Jalen was in the Super Bowl that there's never really been an athletic quarterback or black quarterback that has won a Super Bowl. So I don't think we can just act like that wasn't a narrative in the league and that it may not still be around now. And so I do think there is a point to what Russ has said about him sort of starting to change that narrative in league circles.
Doug Williams, you just glanced over Doug Williams. I mean,
well, but it was such an outlier, though.
Awesome. I mean, he was.
Yeah, he was, but it was an outlier. Like, it didn't have an immediate impact. There were no immediate changes that happened because of that.
Well, there were more. There was an influx of black quarterbacks into the league.
I would argue that Warren Moon had a much longer run of excellence, Pro Bowl performances.
Well, yeah.
Doug Williams was not a multi-year Pro Bowler.
No. But as a matter of fact, Doug Williams started very poorly with Tampa Bay, you'll remember.
Right.
0-27. But he's saying that you couldn't win the Super Bowl, and you didn't mention Doug Williams. Yes, you could. You could win the Super Bowl.
Do you think that changed everyone's mind? I don't.
I think it
– in league circles, I don't think it changed people's mind.
I
or we would have seen black quarterbacks drafted as black quarterbacks.
No, I think you're
Charlie
right. I think Warren Moon changed a lot more minds. But this whole not smart enough thing is stupid. It's just crazy.
There is something to just players in general not.
Well,
being
that's 1960s thinking, 1970s thinking.
Right, but there are some guys who are not. But it's not. Teams just look at guys as slow blinkers. Are you a slow blinker? Is a nickname, and it's for any player at any position who's not. Who's just kind of just not a quick thinker, not as sharp. And it really has nothing to do with race. It's certain, like I've heard about it with certain offensive linemen, certain receivers, certain cornerbacks, they want guys, although it's more important, obviously, at the quarterback position, you want to have guys who are quick processors, quick thinkers. You know, one thing we saw, regardless of the S2 stuff, C.J. Stroud appears to be a very quick processor. And if he's not a quick processor, then, man, does he know the offense and know where to go with it.
I just think it's funny that Russell Wilson is starting this because when he was winning the Super Bowl he won, no one looked at him as the reason they won. He was the steward because of their defense and their running game. So did Russell Wilson's performance in that Super Bowl winning season change the thoughts about how a black quarterback could or couldn't win when he was just looked at as the guy who got them there and he cared?
But Russell wasn't mean it. He didn't mean one.
In
game.
Fairness, he played well.
I'm not saying he didn't play well, but the narrative around Russell Wilson at the time was he was.
Yeah, but you're going one game early
in his
career.
I'm not talking about
one
game.
What about his whole career is what he's talking about.
He said, no, what he said is he set a standard that changed the way people thought. I don't hear people talking about Russell Wilson as that type. You talk to league people.
Well, it was. It was the Legion of Boom that actually got all the credit.
This is what I'm saying. The credit was given to others.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson's performance with Legion of Boom dissolving and with no running game, where he didn't have beast mode anymore, he had performances that were phenomenal.
I'm not
seasons
questioning
that
what he
no,
was
I'm not saying
as
that.
A seed, as
I'm
a player.
That, but you're right. It wasn't like he put a team on his back, though.
Yeah, and people weren't crediting him with that
no,
when
the,
that happened.
No, the defense overwhelmed Peyton Manning. But his second one where he lost with the slant pass, which is a bad call, he was great that year.
I've never questioned his ability back then. I'm just saying the narrative was, oh, Russell Wilson is changing people's thoughts because everyone gave credit to that defense and the running game.
All right, we got to break it. We got to talk about my bookie here. If you want to get in and you want to talk about this or anything else, you're more than welcome. That was just something I don't know why I brought it to the table because now it's dominating the show. But here's the deal. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. I don't want it to dominate your life, but I want you to be able to go out and have some fun while you're watching games. You're watching the Masters. You want to bet on the Masters. You want to bet on Scottie Scheffler. You want to bet on Jon Rahm. You want to bet on Brooks Koepka. Whatever. You can bet it all. You want to bet on all the LIV guys? They finished 4 out of the top 5 last year. Are you kidding me? Can they play? Yeah, they can play. So if you are somebody that wants to bet, win, get paid, if you want to bet on anything, anytime, anywhere, you want to bet on casino games sitting at your kitchen table, okay, you can because you got a live dealer, but you're doing it. You still have a live dealer, but you're at home, all right, and you're watching a live dealer throw you cards, be it blackjack, be it poker, be it a roulette, throwing the ball, whatever it is. You can do that because that's what they give you an option of at mybookie.com. Mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Plus, get 50% of your initial bonus, of your initial deposit in a bonus. So you put in 200, you're playing with 3. That's happening all the time. Right now, it's a great place to play, win, and get paid. Mybookie.ag, but you got to put in promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.